Friends, a small group today.
It's a good sized group. It's not the smallest group. We've had Thanksgiving, I think, so far has been our smallest group. So I hope everybody enjoyed their turkey because they weren't here.
Were you hurt?
No.
Oh.
I wasn't. I'll come to a 2-person meeting. I've done it before. If people want to hear me talk, I'll talk. But this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson. I think I recognize everybody that's with us, so that's not new news. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15 here in Tequila's, and I try and broadcast it out, so if you say something, there's a good chance it'll be captured on the Internet. It'll also be captured in a recording that I'll post as a podcast later on. Hopefully more sooner than later, but sometimes they end up lasting a week before they get out there. You can find us in iTunes. All you got to do is search for the San Carlos Computer Club, and it'll bring it up in iTunes. Or you can go to the website at sccclub.org, and you'll find I've posted our meetings there with a little bit of commentary. And I do this because I hope that if we've said something that you guys would like to go back to and you can't remember what it was, well, you can at least go back to the recording, and if you do find it helpful, please leave a little comment there so we have an idea of what you found helpful, and it's searchable, and other people might find it helpful as well. I came in and realized I have lackluster topics, so I hope people brought their own topics. I did want to mention we had talked about VTech last week. I still feel very serious about these online toys for kids that are billed as toys first and online second. I think that's a very difficult place for us to be purchasing these kinds. These items, like VTech, is painful to think about because they've been in the market for a long time. And so for us to find out that they're not taking security very seriously is painful. At least from a parent's perspective, because if I was to point at a name to trust, you'd point at something like a VTech, because they should have been proven and vetted over the years. And it turns out VTech didn't realize how unsecure they were. And it's really because it grew out of a toy and ended up being an online appliance. So far, their only solution, a week since we talked, is still just turning off services that are insecure, but they haven't presented any kind of security update, so I don't know. I'll be watching it for a while. I think I mentioned last week my kids are using more devices like you guys. They're facing the same security problems you guys are facing, and it's a little unfortunate to think that those are more secure than a device you might hand to an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old. Right? Because my 8-year-old shouldn't have to worry about security. They should just be playing their game.
When you say security, what do you mean?
Well, you know, last week we were talking about, the big issue with VTech is how they've been hacked. And VTech has this online service. VTech provides the tablets, the smartwatches, the GoPros at a kid's level. And so it's not inconceivable to think that a grandma's buying a tablet for a grandkid and handing it over. And the first thing they've got to do is sign up for services, and then they're able to do chats with their parents' smartphone. So from their tablet home on the Wi-Fi, they can send pictures to their parents' iPhone or their grandparents' iPhone, right, and carry on conversations. That what we discovered is none of that has been encrypted or locked down, and so they were able to get away with 5 million accounts. I have not only personal data such as social security numbers and people's names and addresses and phone numbers, but then later it was discovered these intimate chats between adults and children were also captured. So video conferences, pictures, chat messages, basically a treasure trove of information that could be used to dupe a child or a parent into believing that one's talking to the other. So I consider it a very serious security risk. And I'm only reiterating it now because I wanted to mention the Hello Barbie doll that's come out. And if you guys aren't aware of this, I'm not a big Barbie fan in the first place. I have two little girls, and they get too many Barbies as it is. I would never run out and buy them a Barbie because people think, ah, oh, you have girls, we got to buy you a Barbie. And I buy into the self-image stuff, and I've never appreciated that whole line of stuff, and still I've got pink Barbie stuff all over my house. Well, the Hello Barbie is an internet connected toy, mm-hmm. and it's very much like Siri. You connect it to the internet, and then you have conversations with it, and it talks back to you. You ask it questions, it gives you answers. I mean, that's a little creepy in the first place.
Oh, that is a little creepy.
I saw a blurb about it on Facebook this morning.
Well, this morning I really went out searching because I knew that there's a report from one of the white hat hacker groups that have gotten a hold of one, and they started tearing it apart. And this happened last month. I wasn't paying any attention to it last month. And to Mattel's credit, Toy Talk is the name of the company that's doing it for Mattel. The moment they got the list of all the compromises that could be done with this toy, they went about updating the software for it, making the changes, and trying to make it a more secure product. But still, there's issues with it. And the gist of just about every article I saw this morning was, this is the new world of toys for children, is that they're never going to be secure. They're never going to be locked down. We're always going to be finding flaws in them. And questions the whole attitude of having toys online. And then you could extend that farther. Why is my refrigerator online then? Why is my coffee pot online then? All right, we're going to have microphones all over the house that are going to be online. Anyway, I don't have a lot of information on that except that compromises, and this is a first generation toy. The VTech stuff's been around way too long for them to have had a hack like they had.
Do your girls have passwords that they use?
They do. Well, and my eldest does. Yeah, she relies on one password. Well, no, and now that you say that, they both rely on visual passwords for their tablets, where you sketch out a design on an Android tablet, and that unlocks their tablet. Oh. But, you know, they're going to move right into this world where the device looks at them, sees their face, and goes, oh, you're Emily. Now you can use the computer. Because facial recognition is where we're at right now. The Windows 10... Oh, and I've just forgotten what it's... I think it's called Hello Windows. Yeah, I'm not remembering. Maybe it's Hello.
Is it eyeball?
What's that?
Is it facial or eyeball?
It's facial.
It is.
Yeah, there is a Retina, though, that is also on Android devices that is starting
really?
To creep out. Yeah. But apparently you don't have to hold it up to your retina. Like, it takes pictures of your eyes and makes the decision of whether you are who you say you are.
Claim you are. And you say Windows 10, though, has facial?
Yeah. Is it Hello Camera?
I have Windows 10, but it's on a computer that has a fingerprint scanner.
So Windows 10 has included that kind of security for older systems like a fingerprint scanner.
So if I had your picture and held it up to my computer, could I get into your computer?
It would depend on not with the Microsoft software, if you're using the Microsoft certified cameras. Because the cameras do more than just look at the picture. It does things like look at the infrared and sees if there's a heartbeat coming off of you. So that it can determine whether you're a human doing it or if you're a photo, because that's such a common hand, is to hold up a picture.
Really?
Yeah. I'm way too old.
I don't have anything that's that secret.
Yes, you do.
Well, yeah, and anything that you would be concerned, like, we're going to be doing everything through these devices. A lot of us already are. I mean, you can do your banking through your phone. You're going to be paying for mochas with your phone. This is the real world we live in now. People are not the millennials aren't carrying around wallets. They're carrying around smartphones, and they're doing all their daily transactions off of a smartphone, all the way to the point where they're verifying their insurance when they get pulled over with a police officer by handing them the smartphone. And so security and all these aspects have had to been thought about. That last example, I find there's a lot of really interesting discussions on how do you give your phone over to a police officer without the implied consent that they can look at everything on the phone. Right? Because right now the frustration with an app that shows that you have insurance is you have to unlock the phone before you hand it over. When unlocked phone handed over to a police officer is considered giving permission to search. And each state is dealing with where the line is drawn in that respect. How do you securely offer that information? And who knows, maybe in the future the police officer is going to be able to scan the license plate, which they already do, and before pulling you over, maybe you've got something in the car that's broadcasting your current insurance information. So they don't have to look it up in a computer. It just says, I'm insured, I'm insured, I'm insured. Maybe when you get into an accident, the cars will exchange insurance information and you're just waiting for the download to finish.
Is that true in Mexico with the police?
Not at all, no. None of this is... All this is first world stuff.
What a world. Jimmy, it's getting faster all the time.
I can imagine the toys your kids are going to get.
Well, you could stay here.
Yeah, well, for my eldest daughter's birthday, I got her a Google Play card that I could buy from an OXXO here in town, and I was able to give it to her so she could go into her Google account and use the card to add 300 pesos of credit to her account. Now she's able to use that in her Google Play account to buy games, buy books, buy music, buy movies, all these virtual goods. Now, the thing that's caught me a little off guard is her attitude about it. She downloaded a game, loved the game, finished the game. Within a week, she's like, whizzed right through it. She's like, I'm going to send it back and get my credit back. I'm like, I don't know if you can do that. And she's like, oh, yeah, you can. You can send it back.
Cindy at school told me you could.
Well, Cindy on YouTube told her
yeah,
she could.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's where she knows how to do it, is she watches YouTube videos. This is a 10-year-old girl. She's like, oh, yeah, I think you can. You can just say you don't want the game anymore, and they'll give you the credit back. And I'm like, yeah, I think you better look at the terms of service. I bet you got a 2-day window to do. And I know that you've got like a 2-day window to do stuff like that. I accidentally bought it. Amazon's really good in that respect. A few months ago, we were talking about my Amazon purchases when I was playing with parent controls for using the Amazon App Store on Samsung devices. And I was complaining to Amazon on the phone, going, there's no parental controls. You guys say there are, you allow me to set them up, and it's not controlling anything. My kid can still go into the Amazon store and go, nice game, bought it. Nice game, bought it.
Yeah.
I've had to sit down with my kids and go, please don't go into the Amazon store and buy apps. Unfortunately, my kids know exactly what I'm talking about. And they're like, no, don't worry, we're not going to do it. But Amazon is really good about giving you back your money when you've accidentally bought something. You can get a hold of them. They've got a great procedure for it. They've actually got a procedure where you go to their customer support and they ask you for a phone number off of a web page. And then they call you back when they're not busy. All right, so you don't have to wait around on hold. They'll call your number, and I was able to give them a Skype number, and they just called me back on Skype when they had a chance. I explained to them the situation. They're like, oh yeah, all those things have been taken off of your account.
So yeah, they hadn't shipped them yet.
Well, no, these are all virtual goods.
Oh.
And I guess that's my point is, Apple is more cumbersome. Google has a system, but Amazon's system, in my experience, has been the easiest one to get refunds from digital goods you didn't intend to buy.
They're also good about, they don't process your order immediately, so if you change your mind 24 hours later, you can cancel still.
On Amazon? My experience in that is it's been shipped before I've had a chance to do anything about it.
Really? That just happened with me.
But they have a great return policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I want Prime in Mexico. I'm getting so spoiled. I go to Amazon every week now, and their catalog is just getting huge for Mexico.
Yeah, but I checked the price on something, and it was substantially higher in Mexico than it was in the U.S.
Well, yeah, but we're not in the U.S. So, I mean, unless you have a way to get it here for free, it's still pretty cheap.
How fast is shipping?
Well, they've got shipping times on some things that are just a few days. I know we were looking at buying a bike for my daughter, and it was really a question for her birthday, and it was really a question, can it get here? Because they said it could get here in 3 to 5 days.
And that's free shipping?
On the bike, it was, because it was over 699 pesos. And that's what they're advertising, is anything over 699 pesos is free shipping. But I can only imagine it. It depends on the availability, whether it can be... I think what's happened is Amazon has warehouses now in Mexico, and they're filling up warehouses with product. So I think the ship time is going to be 3 to 5 days, like in the United States.
Well,
yeah. It's just a matter of whether it's available or not.
So there's a 700 peso bicycle?
No, there's a 3,000 peso bicycle, and it satisfies the 700 peso shipping.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you something along the lines,
Everybody can ask anything. I'm done with my topics.
I thought I had done this in the past. I tried to order something U.S. Our kids are coming down. I was just going to have them bring it. Credit card, I don't know why. It just didn't go through. The VPN, I can't get the VPN, by the way. We'll go into that in a second.
Okay.
So it was on Infinitum. So... Are they looking at the IP address and saying
absolutely
no way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no explanation. It just doesn't go through.
Right. Yeah. And it's become more and more common now that if you're trying to make a credit card purchase, it doesn't matter if you have a U.S. shipping address, a U.S. billing address, a U.S.
Right.
credit card. If you're trying to do it from Mexico, it probably won't go through.
Okay. Two days. Can I do one more thing?
Yeah.
And that 2 days after, and you don't need to deal with this right now, but 2 days after you set that up. Never used it again until 2 days later on the VPN on Hide My Ass, and they're hiding really well because it's not working.
What about the movies on Amazon? That's not working either.
No, I can't.
Have you tried
Read? It checks as if it recognizes the VPN, but it won't connect to the internet. So I went on Hide My Ass, and I spent probably an hour and a half with it back and forth with some chatting and telling them that I shouldn't have to go back through and do everything you've already done. And they assured me that they would be right back with me with their high technical people, which was about 5 days ago. And I don't care if they charge us half the price or I didn't have to pay for it. It's worth it.
Well, Gary, I'm hoping before all that you did unplug the router and wait a few seconds and plug it back in. And
I did.
It should have come back up after that.
Yeah, no, I did. I did that. I unplugged both of them and plugged them in sequentially. And
it's not coming back.
I cussed it a lot.
So with Amazon, if you
just look at it and say Scott's coming back. And see if that works.
The boss is in the building.
You cannot. It's harder and harder. I don't care if it's a Verizon or anybody else. It's harder and harder to find, even Verizon with a U.S. cell phone here, to find a phone number anymore.
Oh, right.
It's almost impossible to find phone numbers to contact somebody.
In fact, if you want to save some of your hair from ripping it out, just stop thinking you're going to be able to talk to a human, because it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah,
it's
way to get a number is to go on Twitter.
You can get some real quick help if you start slamming them on Twitter. because that's in the global conversation, and they will get back to you quickly.
So he's he's got a VPN with Hide My Ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he can't order Amazon because they can find out that he's really in Mexico?
No. He can't make a credit card purchase because he's not able to use the VPN because the VPN's not working.
It's not working. Yeah. I was on a Mexicanite internet.
And I don't know about people that are just now starting to use Amazon. I've used Amazon for years. I've never had a problem making a credit card purchase from here without a VPN.
But if you have the VPN.
There were several different sites.
Yeah.
Of which Apple has one of the worst purchasing sites in the world. They're idiots as far as going on Apple iTunes and trying to, or Apple to try to buy one of their products. It's like they're like 10 years old in technology of explaining what the product is and how to purchase it.
Yeah.
You say you have never had trouble.
No, I have had trouble, just not with Amazon. I've had trouble buying from HP. I've had trouble buying from Apple.
Is it with your U.S.?
It's because I'm in Mexico. And I'm not going across the VPN.
Okay,
and
you're not going across.
Right, and that's the issue, is that you're...
You got an automatic security block. Once you tell the bank that you're in Mexico making purchases, you never have a problem.
Well, you are correct in general. I mean, you cover that side of things. My bank knows I'm in Mexico, but HP doesn't care. HP sees that I'm making the transaction from Mexico, and they block it. As part of their policies, has nothing to do with my credit card. They haven't even gotten to the point where they're running my credit card.
Well, I have an idea because I never had that problem.
Yeah.
Was everything I do through PayPal? Maybe that's
sure.
That's the answer.
Yeah. No, PayPal is a great way to go. I definitely use my PayPal.
Sure, fast.
Yeah, and so you could bypass that bank.
But they don't.
But then
some websites don't.
Don't accept PayPal.
Use PayPal.
Yeah.
Strictly a credit. I was hoping that that's the possible.
No, it's more of these security constraints that credit card companies and businesses are putting upon themselves so they don't have to cover losses. You just can't use your credit card from there because too many people, we've incurred too many losses.
Now, if you're using a VPN, you can?
Yeah,
well,
don't know it.
If you're using, in like the HP example, if you're using a VPN, then they're... billing services sees the transaction as coming from the United States.
Yeah, but it's a different IP address than you've been using.
They don't know that.
I don't know that. That's okay. Really what we're all talking right, about in right. This instance. This, there are a number of other security concerns all the way down this chain of transactions. But in this instance, they are looking to see where the transaction is coming from. If it's coming from a Mexican IP, that's enough to just say, no, we're not going to do the transaction. And that wasn't the case 5 years ago. That's just the case now.
Wow.
And I haven't had that experience on Amazon, but I've definitely had other sites I've tried to do transactions with that wouldn't allow me to do it because I had a Mexican IP. And some of the nicer sites will say flat out, you're in Mexico, and we won't take transactions from Mexico. And it doesn't matter if you're shipping it to the States. It doesn't matter if your billing address is in the States. It doesn't matter if you have a U.S. credit card. They won't do the transaction because you're in Mexico.
Even if you're shipping it to U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike. Yes. Are you still okay afterwards? What's the one that's not doing?
It's doing all right. I got these downloads. You're going to be so happy. We're about to start doing the thing. Everything's just where it was before, except I have these had no audio.
Oh, that's right. I got your email. That's right.
So I poked around a while. I found this method by which it fixed one of my computers. And I can send you a copy of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it worked. And I tried out the other computer, and it worked. Like both of them were all happy. The next morning, they both went out again. So I fixed the one, and that's fine. The other one is not fine. I tried a dozen times to go through this process.
Have you gone to the device manager?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and then you go down the sound, and you double click it, and your two drivers come up, then you uninstall them,
mm-hmm.
shut your computer, turn it back on again,
automatically reinstalls itself.
Yeah, reinstalls it. And so that worked.
Yeah.
But then it didn't. Not one of them. So what I have to do with that TV to get sound out of it, you know, that computer, I had to hook it up to the TV with HDMI. So now I have sound coming out of that through the TV. But I can't get it out of the machine itself.
You know,
it works fine.
That may be more an indicator of that HD sound, because you can choose where sound is going.
Yeah.
Maybe something has changed with the default speakers, the default audio out. Let me get the vocabulary right.
Yeah, okay.
Playback device. The default playback device may be set incorrectly. I'm sorry?
From their downloads.
Well, what happened, and I had the same experience on this computer. I lost audio after
that. Okay.
And what you're describing is the big fall roll-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
had the same experience with this computer. The other computer was fine. And all I can imagine is in that roll-up, they included their own version of my audio driver.
Yeah.
And their default settings or whatever got, and I did exactly what you did. I went into Device Manager, went under Audio, removed the driver, turned it off, turned it back on, it reinstalled. I had no other problems after that. Now, I suspect your other computer probably didn't have any problems after that either. And what may be the problem is because you can have different output devices, okay. Well, at the very least, you would hope Lenovo would have some message about beware of audio problems.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you go, there's a speaker down in the lower right-hand corner,
yeah.
right, that
yeah.
indicates where your volume is.
Yeah.
If you click on that with the right mouse button, choose playback devices. And what that'll bring up is a sound dialogue, and it'll list all the different ways that you can play back sound. And look at where the green check mark is. See, and I, from my own experience, interesting. See, like this has already chose the wrong playback device because I plugged in this microphone, and this microphone has a monitor on it. And so what it's done with this microphone plugged in, it goes, oh, well, I bet he wants that to be the output device. So it's turned off the speaker in my computer and expects me to have a headset connected to the microphone. Sound is working perfectly. There's no problem, but there's no chance I'm going to get a sound out of my computer because the settings are set for this device.
But my computer did not work at all. And then I plugged in the HDMI cable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying, is the HDMI represents a different playback device. And it could be that that is set as the default, and it's not defaulting over to your main sound, to your main speakers.
So the green check mark indicates where I want to be, right?
Well, the green check mark indicates where you are.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can move that. If you look at it and it's, oh, obviously this is supposed to be set over here. And when you look at it, I'm not sure what's going to pop up. But when you look at it, you may look at it and go, oh, well, that's obviously wrong. And then you can click on it with the right mouse button and choose set as default device.
Okay.
And then see if you've got sound back. You can do that too. Yeah. And if nothing comes up, then you obviously have a real sound problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's nothing in that list, then you've got...
But none of this happened until I downloaded it.
Right.
Yeah. So
I agree with you.
I would hold off.
My rule of thumb with some of this stuff is there could have been a problem there before even the update. Updates and upgrades exasperate problems. And so it could very well be the driver you had originally isn't a well-tuned driver to begin with. It was working, but then when something came into your system and started poking around and moving things around, well, then it was working with this rinky-dink driver, and this is the state it left you in.
So Windows 10 didn't update me along the way on my drivers?
Well, and it's not necessarily Windows 10's responsibility to update the drivers. It's actually Lenovo's responsibility to provide a driver to Windows 10 that doesn't screw up your computer when Windows 10 upgrades.
Okay.
I mean, it's still a problem. regardless of who you blame for it, it's a reason to hold off on a Windows 10 update. Yeah. If everything, it goes back to that, if it's not broken, why are you trying to fix it type thing? It's also one of the reasons I think you should have my office update you, because we will back up your whole system and we will...
That's my next step, basically.
Yeah, I would back... Because I've told you guys before, if you're going to do this, make sure you have a disaster recovery backup. Make sure you have the restore media for your computer so that if everything just blows up in your face, you're able to get it back.
My question followed by that is, your office is the same as Sonny's office?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And they're all tight.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I mean, to me, I think that's the way you should do it. But if you're not going to get help, then listen to my advice. Get a disaster recovery backup.
Yeah.
Make sure you have the recovery media for your computer. If you have an HP, you should be able to create disks off of that laptop so that you can put it back to square one.
Actually, just a little advertisement for your office. I refuse to have a printer anymore.
Say again?
I refuse to have a printer anymore.
You refuse to have a printer?
Because I'm inking and I got other stuff and I have a tube and blah, blah, blah. So I go to UPS in the States and your office here to get things printed.
To get things printed out.
It's just so much easier.
Well, thanks, Mike. Nice little plug for Sony services there at the office.
Yeah, would an image backup qualify is what you're talking about?
That system image that we talked about?
On 8.1.
Yeah, that would qualify for bringing it back. Oh, sí, gracias.
Because the 8.1 doesn't really have a recovery disk. No, gracias.
No, gracias.
No, and, you know, it's got a little bit convoluted because there are still manufacturers producing their own disks. Now, I ran into a problem with Gary's computer. Gary, yours is an MSI, is that right? So I'm doing due diligence and checking all the boxes, making sure we're as secure as possible. And they provided a recovery system to create the media. So you go and create recovery DVDs or USB. USB is a much easier way to go these days. USB. We didn't have a USB with the correct amount of capacity available to us. So I went forward making DVDs. And I got 3 DVDs into it. And on the 4th DVD, for some reason, their recovery creation process created a DVD that was twice as big as any DVD that you'd normally buy. And so I couldn't get it all on one disk. And so because everything else was healthy about the system, I backed up the disk images knowing that I could figure out a way to make them work if I needed to, and I went forward with the updates. But that's really frustrating. They've provided a recovery system, but the recovery system's broken. It's janky. Whereas that's MSI's experience. Now, HP, I just worked on an HP for someone. They had a recovery disk process that scared me. I was 3 disks into it and accidentally hit the cancel button. I know from experience that HP's recovery process lets you do it one time. They don't want you creating recovery media for a dozen computers. It's only your computer. They when you finish doing that one-time creation of disks, you can't make them again. And I'm like, oh, what happened? And it was just my elbow bumped the, like an escape key or something, or an enter key right in the middle of the process. I'm like, no. And fortunately, I was really caught off guard. I'm like, oh, let's try it again. And HP picked up right from the 4th disk. I had successfully created all 3 disks, and I was about to start the 4th one when I accidentally canceled it. I start the process again, and it goes, well, you've already got the first 3. Here's the 4th disk to finish.
That's great.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank goodness.
Now, at the same time as that, what HP has done, and I know it sounds like I'm praising HP. I'm not somebody that, you guys know me. I don't praise HP for anything. But what Microsoft has done is they've provided a recovery mechanism in the operating system. So you're going to find a lot of your new computers may not rely on their own proprietary recovery system. They may be relying on the Windows 10 recovery system. In fact, that's what Gary's computer was doing, the MSI. Was we couldn't get the recovery disks out of their recovery system, but they had also taken their entire platform and integrated it into Windows 10's recovery. So you could start up holding a shift button and go into their recovery system. And that was another reason I felt comfortable going forward with the update, was because in their recovery system, there is an MSI image that Microsoft is hosting on your computer. So in a nutshell, what that means is you use Microsoft tools to recover an image that was provided by MSI. So it had to meet Microsoft specifications, and that worked without a problem. In fact, it wasn't an update we were doing, was it? It was a recovery, because there was some stupid problem with the computer.
It wasn't behaving the way it was a brand new computer should behave.
That's right. It was shooting off things incorrectly, and I looked at it, and Gary and I looked at it and said, you only had this computer for a month. It's got nothing in it. What if we just bring it back to out-of-the-box status? And that's what I used, was I used the image provided by MSI built for Microsoft's recovery system. And that was painless to use, and it fixed the problems that we were dealing with.
Well, I still need to see you about a couple of things.
Oh, well, those are the original. That's I've got old software installing in a new operating system, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, that's up to... I mean, I need to take a look at the specific problem, but we haven't updated my wife's computer because she does our bed and breakfast books using QuickBooks, and QuickBooks notoriously is not compatible with new versions. So the only reason we haven't taken advantage of the free upgrade on her computer is because we're afraid we're going to lose access to QuickBooks and don't want to buy a new version of QuickBooks.
And all that data.
Yeah, well, the data is secure, but the only way to read it is in the program. So if you don't have a copy of the program... So what I'll probably end up doing, and I need to double-check with QuickBooks. I just haven't sat down and worked with the problem. But what I'll probably do is something similar to what we did with Gary's system and just make a virtual machine and run the QuickBooks in that, and then upgrade to Windows 10.
2004 works great for me.
Yeah.
Well, there's something different about the way it looks at the directory, too. I have one 300 gigabyte music file, and when I want to find a file in that, the bar comes up on the top, and it takes like 10 minutes where it should take a second. And I don't understand that. On the old computers, that file is instantly available anywhere.
Yeah, I've observed that as well. I typically can see the list of files, but that green bar is still going across.
Now, all of the information that belongs to those files is not yet there. It's still filling it up.
Yeah, but there's enough to navigate. Like you can see the names of files, and sometimes you can see the dates of files as well. But anything else that's customized in that, like you can tell a folder, these are all music files. And so then Windows tailors the information in the folder around music files, like showing the duration or having a play button or something like that. What's that?
The bit rate.
Yeah, the bit rates. I'm sorry, that's a better example. The duration, the quality, the artist may show up in that list, where when you look at a folder of files, maybe what you're accustomed to seeing is the name, the date, the location, things like that, the attributes. If you've specified this is a folder of music files, then Windows will change that to show the name of the song, the artist of the song, the quality of the song, the duration of the song. And all that has to be computed. It has to be read out of each one of those files and displayed for you. You know, Gary, in my experience with that green bar, I've gotten it to successfully complete maybe one time, just leaving it open. On a large folder full of files. And when it finally completed, what I found was it was organizing everything by an alphabetical order. Something that happens on a Macintosh effortlessly, but on Windows has never been able to do. Now, and you're looking at me going, well, I look at my files in alphabetical order. What you look at in Windows in alphabetical order is folders in alphabetical order and then files in alphabetical order.
That's true.
And when the bar finally completed, and I don't know what settings I had on the folder, it aligned files and folders together, which is the first time I've experienced that in Windows.
At one point, there's a checkbox that says something like, this has to do with the way it's indexed.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm wondering if that would have an effect on the longevity of that opening of the file.
Yeah, the index, and you get that when you're doing maybe a search, like you're in a big folder like your music library, and you're doing a search from Windows, and it'll give you a message, a bar across the top that will say, searches will be slow on non-indexed locations. If you want to speed up this process, you can add this folder to your index. It's a kind of a balancing act because.
But I would suggest that once you've done that, then the next time you go to that file, it should be like that.
Right.
But it is.
It should be. Yeah. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but it should be. The exception being if you're making multiple changes in that folder over time. What I don't like is the performance you give up in general, because by adding a large folder of files to your index, you're giving your computer more work to do in general. In the background, it has more that it has to index. And so on newer computers, you probably wouldn't even notice it. But for example, on my older computers, I try to keep my index really small, or it'll spend all its time building and refreshing those indexes. They're scheduled jobs to build those indexes. They get shot off once a day or once a week, where everything in the index is re-looked at again. And all that information is refreshed, so that when the refresh process is over, you just have to provide a little piece of information, like a word in the file name, and it'll pop up in front of you. It's the refreshing that sucks so much life out of the computer. And specifically older computers. Newer computers, you don't feel it as much. Maybe on your computer, adding it to the index, you wouldn't have a period of time during the week where you felt like, why is this computer working so hard?
Well, when you go from 2 gigabytes of RAM to 16 gigabytes of RAM, you wouldn't expect anything to be slower.
Yeah, you would.
The problem with me is that I can take the same file in my old Windows 7 computer, and it acts just like the 2 megabyte file would. You can access it immediately and do what you want with it.
Yeah, it just really depends on what that memory is being used for to speed up. I mean, for speeding up. Like, to give you an idea, I always look at RAM, and that's what we're talking about when you say 2 gigabytes versus 16 gigabytes. You're really talking about the RAM of the computer. And the RAM, I always use the analogy of a workbench. And you've got these shelves in your workshop. And you've got your workbench, and you pull things off the shelves and you stick them on the workbench for your projects. And the bigger your workbench, the more projects you can have running at one time. And so you got a two-part. That's right. And that's essentially what we're talking about when you're talking about RAM, is can I pull out one project or can I pull out a dozen projects? And that's the difference between 2 gigs versus 16 gigs. You're really not taking advantage of the 16 gigs unless you're working on a dozen things at the same time. And the exception to rules like that are things like Photoshop, which is once all the memory you possibly have. Because Photoshop in itself is like a dozen projects in one.
Or a CAD program would be similar to that.
Yeah, CAD would be another one where it's like a dozen projects all happening at the same time.
For different things at similar times.
That's right. When you have that much memory and you're using programs of that level of sophistication, just about everything that's being used by that program gets fed into memory to give you a better experience using it. I don't know, does that help with the understanding of the difference there? So it would be very possible for you to...
Oh, Well, understanding it is one thing, but doing something about it.
Yeah. Well,
where I want to go.
Like, where you, the speed you're looking for, if you're not getting it, would have to be somewhere in the processing between storage from secondary to primary storage, from the hard drive to the RAM. That would be, you'd be looking for that speed to indicate a performance boost. And you may not see that. It may be you have a 3 gigahertz computer with maybe a bigger bus on it. I mean, I would hope it'd be a bigger bus than the computer you had before, but not necessarily. I have a computer that's from 2007 I've talked about before, and as far as the stuff in it running, well, I don't feel much of a difference from a 2011 or 2013 computer because it's got a 2.2 gigahertz processor in it, and it's using a standard bus size that was pretty common through all those years. Where I really feel the slowdown is when I plug a USB thing to it and I want to transfer a lot of information, then its age really shows because it can't handle working that connection, whereas the newer computers can. And I think you'd find that too, Gary, if you were going to grab 30 gigabytes and move it from your hard drive to a USB 3 hard drive, you'd find that's 5 times, 10 times faster than what you were doing before.
At least 3 times faster at the time, so check.
Yeah.
From 40 to 120.
Yeah, you really would feel, and it's a testimony to older computer. Like, my computer from 2007 is the fastest it's ever been running Windows 10. This computer here, I wish Linda was here because she was going to tell us about her netbook experience. She pulled it off the shelf and installed Windows 10 in it. And she's just blown away by how fast this computer is now.
Wow.
This was originally a Windows 7 computer, and it was getting so that I was really considering replacing it, buying another computer just to do what I'm doing here because I got tired of click and wait. And this latest Windows 10 update, it's gone. I don't have the click and wait anymore. I mean, it's definitely reasonable given it's from 2011 and it's only got 2 gigs of memory in it. It's a very usable computer, and I can say honestly it's the operating system. Because I had Windows 7 tweaked out as best as I could, and it was tolerable. And now I feel like I have a brand new computer.
So are we going ahead with Windows updates, or are we still waiting for...
Well, this is the month I was saying you should wait for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mike comes at me this week with this audio issue, and I was hoping I was the only one that experienced this. But the fact that I've experienced it and Mike's experienced it now...
And I did too.
You did the update to Windows 10?
I didn't do an update, but I have a new system, and my sound went down, and I can't get it back. I don't know why.
Okay.
Why hasn't Windows done anything about this? That's what I was waiting for. Like a couple days ago, they might send something else. We got one more for you, just so your files are where they were and they do work.
I don't know why. I've tried everything.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, check that speaker that I mentioned.
I have.
Okay. And do you see the playback devices?
I went in and checked, and part of the time it's a matter of where do you put the spark plug? In the muffler? Or do you put it in the hole where the spark plug's supposed to go? And I don't know when I see these check marks. I'm not sure where. I've tried several of them. And I've got the green check mark, and I know that's where it's supposed to be.
Okay. Then I think the instructions that Mike got, what I do intuitively, because I've been doing this for so long, is you want to go into the device manager. And Windows 10 makes it easy to get into the device manager. Actually, Windows 8 makes it easy too. Because 7 is not easy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but this what we're describing is specifically a Windows 10 issue. So you may be dealing with something completely different.
What do you do in device manager?
Well, in device manager, you find your audio device and you remove it. You remove, which is a safe thing to do. Now, since Windows 7, there's a checkbox there to remove the driver in its entirety. And I only mention that because you should not check that box to begin with. Because you might find yourself having to download drivers later to get it installed. In fact, let me just say, if you do any of this stuff that Mike and I are talking about, do not remove the driver using a checkbox. And it'll pop up in front of you in the device manager. You find your audio device, you click on it to remove it, click on it with the right mouse button and choose uninstall this device. It'll pop up with a box and there'll be an open checkbox. Leave it open. It should be left open. Left open. Or you're going to be calling me on the phone going, I checked it and now it's asking me for disks. Because that's what's going to happen if you checkbox it.
Is that the backup process or what?
Well, what you're doing is you're removing it as an active driver, but you're leaving the software of the driver on the computer. What that means is when you shut down the computer and you start it back up, it's gonna see the hardware. Okay, Chester, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
you're not gonna get to see Irving's remote, which is where I'm trying to get to, because I had him bring it in again today, and I gotta mention it right now. Because I don't want to forget about it.
All right. A few weeks ago, you mentioned an all-inclusive remote that was expensive and difficult. But I was in the States, and Logitech at Harmony had a remote on sale for like $50.
This is the super remote we had talked about a few weeks ago, when we were like, why doesn't Apple make a remote control?
And anyway, the reason I'm bringing it in is I'm not, all this stuff that you guys go through, I wouldn't even attempt because it's just too much trouble for me. And so I bought this thing because it was $50 and I set it up. It was so easy to set up, it was absolutely amazing and it works. Now, let's say in my living room, I've got four devices working continuously. My TV, my DirecTV, my IPTV, and my sound system. And that was four remotes that I used to drive me nuts, drop it, handle it, forget it, and all this here.
Yeah, I got five remotes.
You go to eHarmony website, now they got supposedly 17,000 devices. So whatever you own, they have. You go in, and they have what they call activities. And you set up an activity where you put the devices you want to turn off and on at the same time. Then you just press that button and it all goes on and it all goes off. You can set it up with any combination of devices, like you may want to watch just TV and DirecTV, or you might want to watch IPTV, TV and sound system, so forth and so on. You can also do it in every room in your house with every other device. So it's an absolutely amazing thing.
Can we pass it around so people can look at it?
Yeah, I have the packaging.
Can I sum up some of the stuff we talked about last time?
Okay, I just want to finish one thing, the most important thing.
Yes.
You won't have any problem setting it up. It's so darn easy that a child could do it, and that's the key to it.
Does it eliminate all your other...
Children can do all of this stuff.
They can already do more than I
can.
This takes the place of your remotes. This is one remote for
everything. I think they can come out of the window and how to do it.
It's called a Harmony.
I'm going to get
it. It's called a Harmony, and it's got its own display on it. And what Irving is talking about is you can go to the website to get it set up. The website is being updated with devices all the time. How many devices did you say they have?
17,000.
17,000 devices. And what the remote supports is a function of profiles. So you can have a remote button that is dedicated to your TV set, your DirecTV, and your stereo in your living room. And you could have another button dedicated to your TV set and your DirecTV in your bedroom. You could have another button that's dedicated to just your stereo and your Roku device. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to give you an overall kind of impression of how this works. I'm not trying to be very specific because don't hold me to any of that, right? But that's the idea. The idea is that you can get all these under one umbrella and you can eliminate I've got it in my house. I mean, for us to work the stereo TV and the Roku, we got three different remotes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. When we go to turn something on, we got to turn on two devices. The Roku's on all the time, but we got to turn on the stereo, got to turn on the TV set. And then this is the thing that we were talking about before, that the input selection
probably
on the TV set is what you told me was worked out as well, right?
Well, if I want to watch TV, I just hit watch TV. And the three devices that operate the TV on the normal TV, it turns on together and it turns off together. Then, if I want to do an IPTV, which is a different configuration in the same room, then it has what they call, if I get back that thing,
and here I thought,
it has activities.
Harmony was a date.
And so you choose your activity.
Choose your activity.
Yes.
Watch TV, watch a movie, blah, 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 blah.
And you've set that up.
Guaranteed, I have
to hear it. I'm only going as far as setting this up for my bedroom and my living room.
Okay.
Because that's all I've been using. I've been busy.
But what impressed me was that you could assign an activity to an input on your TV.
That's how easy it is. That's what impressed me.
A lot of
buttons. So when you hit the button you've assigned to your DirecTV, your TV switches to that HDMI input.
That's exactly correct.
When you hit the button that you've assigned to your Roku,
nice and heavy.
It switches to that HDMI input.
Oh, I like
so
that.
You're never having to grab the original TV remote to switch the inputs on the TV. Are you catching all this, Mike?
All those inputs are on the activity.
I like it. It says watch.
That's right.
Well, you set up as many activities as you want, yeah, and each one will control the activity.
Is that a $150?
Well,
each
it isn't anymore. That's on sale, but now I see it.
Shut up and take my money.
It was originally $100-something, and if I know about it now, I'd pay the $150 or whatever it was.
It's worth it.
That's how good it is.
Yeah. Well, Harmony remotes have gotten praises in the industry from tech enthusiasts for years. And it's always seemed like an expensive remote, but after you, and you said you got that on sale for
$50. And I think it's still on sale now at Best Buy for $69.
Yeah, so I think that at that price point, it's very reasonable.
Probably a Black Friday deal.
Yeah, but $60. I'm not familiar with them being any less than $80.
If this is possible with something like this, then anything that computers do in 2015 ought to be just step A, B, C, D. They shouldn't have to ask you what a PLM and OP is, or which.
I don't even know what you just said, Gary.
And I know exactly what it is.
Okay.
No, I have no concept.
No,
and that's the same thing. This is incredible.
Well,
this
Windows created that. That's what Windows created. When I started with computers, we had a program, and we had to do everything in syntax. If you misspelled a word, that was the end of it. Windows made computers for normal people.
Yeah.
However, there is...
Or the more correct way to remember that history is Apple made computers for normal people,
right,
yeah. And Windows Microsoft stole it for Windows. Yeah.
The downside to that kind of thinking, though, is that everything goes into one box. And I have had nothing but grief with Cox in Tucson because we disagreed over TV cost.
Right.
The programming that we... And so I sent him a letter. Didn't get a response back. Sent him another certified letter. Didn't get a response back. Okay? And so what they did was they turned off the TV. Okay? And when they turned off the TV, that affected the computer.
That
affected the telephone. So now...
Oh, right. Yeah.
I decided I cannot deal with life without a phone or without a computer, one or the other. I can deal with no TV.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm never going to have everything connected together. Because with something like this, $17,000, you could have this connected to your smart refrigerator.
But Bob, you understand, this is on the other side of that. This is on your side of the equation. This is you taking control of your device.
I know, but if that thing doesn't work, for some reason
or another, you're
in trouble.
Right.
Because you threw out your other remotes.
No, I'm happy with my old remotes.
Oh, okay.
But I'm curious, are you happy with the remote?
Yes.
Yes.
She's the one that had to call me in the room every time to find out which thing.
Yes.
You guys know that I go up and help my father's here at the end of the table. I go up and help them with the bed and breakfast almost a month early. With the bed and breakfast before my family comes up. My wife brings the kids up later, and then they come back almost a month before I do. And so they're spending. I got to get this remote. They're spending almost a month without me beforehand, and almost a month without me. And they go over to my in-laws' place. They give up trying to watch TV at my house because we've got all these remotes. One thing gets out of alignment, and they don't know what they're doing. Or I should say, now the kids have gotten old enough that they're helping my wife with which device does what. She just gets frustrated because they turn on the video games, right? And she wants to watch a movie.
I know.
So this remote replaces both you for the month that you're gone and your children.
Oh my gosh. Now that you put it that way, I'm a little nervous. Maybe I don't need the remote. I kind of like the desperate feeling that they need me around. They digitalize much more. They won't be able to call me in the room for something. Yes.
Is there a meeting next week?
Oh, that's a good question. Boy, we probably should have started with that, huh? I haven't even given it a thought. Well, Christmas.
What? Next week? Next week's not Christmas. Stop that.
Well, yeah. The week after next. I think we are having a meeting on the 15th, but I don't know what's going on for everybody for Christmas week. Is it worth trying to get together on the 22nd?
I'll be here.
Yeah?
I don't want to do without my chilaquiles.
You'll be here.
Yes.
You'll be here whether there's a meeting or not. All right. Well, that's.
I'll be here. I have a different question.
Okay.
And this is dealing with a lot of us in Mexico. In light of this San Bernardino deal, where the gal was very computer literate, and the NSA and all these people are mining stuff like you wouldn't believe today about worldwide security. Very little is being said other than last Thursday we saw the newspaper. I don't read Spanish very well. And there were five pictures in the newspaper, local newspaper, that Hermosillo guys were doing something and they got thrown in jail with the internet and stuff. And I've wondered, ISIS is one problem, but the Mexican cartels, are they involved in computer hacking and things like that?
I imagine they are. This is a broad topic to bring up in the last few minutes after our meeting is supposed to be over.
Well, maybe check it for next week.
My first thing is they don't need to be because we're all susceptible to these silly phone calls. People still keep wiring money to these people, and I'm sure that that's organized through organized crime. They've got groups of people calling numbers in tourist areas, trying to convince them that they're...
How could that affect us here?
Well, you get a call that says, I'm your nephew, and I'm stuck in Hermosillo.
I got a couple of those.
I mean, I don't think they need to be that sophisticated with this audience. I mean, not our audience, but the Mexican audience in general. I do believe that they're involved in all that. They're involved in the fraud. All the way up to HSBC, they were laundering drug money. You remember that, right?
It's got to be laundered somewhere. They're laundering it. You know they are.
Well, and what did HSBC get? Just a slap on the wrist. I think they laundered hundreds of millions of dollars, and they ended up with like $1 million fine.
They already
like
paid their Mordida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To the whichever government official that they get reelected.
I do believe all that is going on, at least at the same level as we see anywhere else in the world.
The world runs on corruption. There's no doubt about it.
And it's a fact of life.
No. Money's always talking. Big money's always talk big.
I think for us, everybody, tell your friends and family, anybody around, it's not your nephew.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my nephews. I know they're not in the Philippines in jail.
It's not your neighbor.
You're treating that awfully lightly. I suspect there's a lot that we don't know down here.
I don't like that.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's not my fault. I
agree with you. I just think that we need to focus on the things that affect us much more directly, and that's somebody trying to scam you over the phone for money.
Ignorance is bliss.
I think that's our biggest threat, in my opinion. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Well, I have one subject.
Okay. We'll do one more, and then we'll get out of here.
I have a nice old desktop that now won't even recognize my mouse, and I would like to give it to you to fix.
Okay.
How do I do that?
I drop it by the office.
And where's the office?
It's at 151 Linda Vista in Sector Villa Hermosa. It's almost behind the Delphine's restaurant. If you were to go, you know that frontage road that takes you in front of the gallery?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you make that turn of the frontage road, don't even go down it. Just go down the side road. That's Linda Vista.
That by the recycle store, yes. store or whatever.
No,
it
past
is.
That. The next one. Side road going towards
and
the gallery.
And you have signage?
Yeah, there's a sign at the corner, and then there's a sign
right
on
side,
that.
Right hand side.
I have your card.
Okay.
Right hand side.
Oh, and yeah, if you've got my card, go to. Wait, how old's the card you've got?
Well, last year. Well, this spring, I think. It's from the spring.
Let me make sure you've got an up to date card.
Okay.
If you go to the website and look at contact us, it'll even show you a map where we're located.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're still in the same office.
Still in the same office. I'm seldom there.
Two-story.
But it's still the same office.
No, I really haven't been around in less than 3 years.
Dag, I am not available today, but I could be available tomorrow in the afternoon.
I don't know about tomorrow. I gotta go, but I'm gonna see you.
Or Friday in the morning.
Do you know where American Goodies is?
No. If it is in the morning.
You know where the gas station is on the right.
I can't do it in the morning tomorrow, but I can do it the morning of Friday.
Buildings and take the next one.
Let's see what. What is today's Tuesday, is Wednesday? Can I do it Thursday morning? Let me see.
No, you turn way before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see what my schedule looks like, because I know I've got some. I'm full today. And I've got something happening tomorrow in the morning, but the next day, it would be Thursday, I think, would be.
Yeah,
see you next week.
Your hat, so we recognize.
They have to be gone.
For you next week.
Yeah, I'm afraid I wouldn't be available until about 12 at the earliest on Wednesday.
My daughter's getting in at 4:15 in Lamasia.
Oh, okay.
We got to leave here probably
2:30.
2:30. So we could say like 12:30. You need to leave here at 2:30. So that should give us enough time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll give us time. So around noon.
Okay, so around noon.
He's my chauffeur because I can't drive anymore.
Yeah, so they're going to drive to the airport. Pick up my daughter.
Okay, so we'll plan on it for
Christmas?
For Wednesday, for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 12, okay.
Yep. Okay.
That'll be good.
Excellent.
Okay.
Do you want me to come take a look at what's going on?
Do you have to be there to do it?
I only have to be there to know what's going on.
Yes.
It's the...
Good luck. Can you look at anything and see it's setting? I've done nothing to change it.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's settings. It's... I mean, I would think that you'd be able to resolve the problem simply by unplugging and plugging it back in.
Yeah. So when you say unplugging, you're talking about the power in the background.
That's right.
30 years old.
A full reboot. And the only exception would be if that equipment is having issues. You remember when I was there last, it worked, and then it didn't work, and then it didn't work until it worked.
Right.
So it makes me question the reliability of that equipment.
And if it's recognizing, it's check marking.
Hey, you know what, Gary? If you're done fighting with this thing, why don't you give it to me? I'll hook it up at my house. I'll spend a week or two using it. And if I have problems with it, I can say this is bad equipment. It's not working right.
Okay.
And if it just works flawlessly, I should be able to hand it to you and hook it up, and it should work. But I, and that'll give me time with it. It'll give me time to diagnose what kind of problem it is, whether there's a better way to set it up.
Okay.
But I'm afraid we're probably at a point where we need to say whether it's a bad piece of equipment or not.
And the equipment would be the router itself.
Yeah. And to give you, an anecdotal story of frustratingly bad equipment, I've got a printer that works just great until it doesn't work. And then it won't work at all. And I unplug it, I plug it back in, it's like I'm setting it up from the box again. And I go through the whole interview, halfway through the interview it freezes up. And I unplug it and I let it sit for 30 minutes, plug it back in, get all the way through the interview, get it all set up, it's working just great. The next day, it's not working anymore. And I'm afraid we might be dealing with that kind of problem with
random
that equipment.
Okay.
I can also try different power supplies on it, too. If it's having random problems like that, it might be the power supply that's bad on it.
Power supply on what?
The transformer, that little box you plug into the wall. If that's spitting out variable electricity, then it'll cause the equipment it's plugged into to act freaky.
Okay. Before I hand it to you, I should unplug both the Infinitum and the...
No, it's not important.
Necessary.
No, you should have two cables to worry about. The power cable and the data cable. And the data cable you can just let dangle, right? So all you need to give me is the router and the power supply.
Right. But to test it one last time, I just unplug the power supply.
That's right. That's the only thing you should have to unplug.
And it doesn't matter if I unplug it from the router itself or from the wall.
Now, that's a good question. You probably, if you're not able to get it to work, you probably want to try both.
Okay.
And it's because it's a transformer, and it could be the kind of thing where the transformer, if you let it sit for a few seconds and then plug it back in, it's spitting out the right voltage. And then over time, it heats up and it starts acting variable. And it might even help diagnose where the problem is.
And how long should I leave it on? 5 minutes or no?
Well... There's two reasons that you unplug something, in my mind. One of them is you want whatever settings that are in there right now to go to zeros. The other reason is for heat. And
okay.
And so you're unplugging it to let it cool off. So I think you should think in both those terms when you're unplugging stuff.
Okay.
Give it time to cool off and see if you get better results. Give it time to flush out whatever set and set itself up again.
Okay, let me try that first.
Okay.
And then I'll put it under the wheels of my truck. If I...
No, give it to me. I'll set it up in my environment, and I'll... Because if it's having this flaky of problems, hopefully it would show up in a day or two, and I'll be able to diagnose what's going on with it.
Okay.
The problem is when I show up and it works.
Yeah, I know.
No good.
I can't do anything with it if it's working.
It's hard to fix a vehicle when it's working.
I got to be able to repeat the problem.
Of course.
And it definitely was a problem last time.
Oh, yeah.
And when we put the right information, it was a problem, and then it was working.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I love these frustrations.
Yeah.
You going to sign off?
Thank you, Scott.
I do need to sign off. Yeah. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. If you have any computer problems in San Carlos, I hope you'll give me a call at my office, 226-0209, or visit our website at internationalcs.net. Now I just stumbled. It's a good thing there's only four of you listening. If you're looking for this meeting or other meetings like it, you can visit our website at sccclub.org. You can also join us in person on Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15 at Tequila's. It's a great place to have a meeting. A lot of people show up early. They do breakfast here. Nobody's paying me to say that. I just want to plug Tequila's because they're always so friendly with us. I guess that's it. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Could have done a more polished sign off. I need to write this stuff down sometimes. Goodbye.